So when you get to Ben-Gurion Terminal, there's this very long hallway that you walk down. It's sort of iconic in the redesign of this airport. And right now we're walking down it. It's about 6:30 in the morning. The sun's coming up.
A few weeks ago, I arrived at Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv.
The notable thing about walking down this hallway now is that there are photographs of every single one of the people still being held by Hamas in Gaza. So right now I'm looking at an Ethiopian 21-year-old boy called Joshua Molel.
This wasn't like any of my previous trips to Israel. The energy was somber and still.
There's an 80-year-old called Yoram Metzger.
There's Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who's 23 years old.
There's a girl called Liri Elbag, who's 18 years old.
And then there's Nama Levy, 19 years old.
It was almost like the country and its people were frozen in time, unable to move past the horrifying morning of October 7th.
Every single second of our lives is trauma.
Israel went through a near-death experience.
And you say to yourself, if a terrorist will get into this building, where do I hide my child? Do I put him in the washing machine?
This is the highest pain you can imagine.
Do I put him, like, in some kind of a closet?
And there were bodies spread all over. No young people. It's like, you know, entering hell.
People don't begin to understand the extent of this earthquake and how it will change Israel.
Since the earliest hours of Saturday, October 7th, we have been reporting on the war in Israel. Within 48 hours of the attack, our team had interviewed dozens of people. Survivors who crawled out of the music festival, older retired generals who grabbed pistols in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and drove to the south, families whose loved ones had been stolen into parts unknown. In the weeks and months since, we at the Free Press have published no fewer than 70 articles about it. So I thought I knew what happened that day. But there is a difference between knowing something intellectually and actually standing in a killing field.
Were they killed in this room?
As human remains were found on a couch.
Oh my God. Are those the last texts they sent?
This is from the morning. So she's saying here, Abba tinalu tadelet, Dad, lock the door.
Which is why, over the next few episodes, we're going to bring you a mini-series about our time on the ground in Israel.
I just can't imagine being trapped in here.
From survivors of October 7th.
So you're hiding under the cars. So you hear the Arabic and you hear the shots, but you're not seeing the terrorists yet.
To reservists currently fighting in Gaza. From internal Israeli refugees to Palestinians in Ramallah.
A lot of polls suggest that many Palestinians support what happened that day. Is that accurate from what you talk to people in your neighborhood and your community?
Most people agree with the 7 October. Most Palestinians, even from Fatah, Palestinian Authority, they agree in their heart.
Now, perhaps you've never been to Israel or to the Palestinian territories or to the Middle East at all. Maybe you feel like this is just another faraway place with little relevance to your life. I get that. But what I want to suggest is that the way we understand the events of October 7th and the way we make sense of the ongoing war between Israel, Hamas, and other Iranian proxies is about something very fundamental.
We cannot leave Gaza until Hamas is done. And this is not just for Israel. This is for the world. Hamas, it's an idea. It's an idea that presents jihadist, Islamist extremist that looks at you in LA as the enemy, not just us in Israel. We just happen to be their neighbors.
We're doing it for everybody. We're putting ourselves on the line so we can live in it sounds cliche, but a better world, one that we can believe in, one that we can support. And when you look at it that way, it's kind of easier to get out of bed in the morning and go do our job.
It is about the difference between democracy and tyranny, between freedom and unfreedom.
And what can happen here can happen elsewhere in the world, in Europe, and yes, even in the United States.
In a world that seems to have lost the ability to make a distinction between the two.
As long as this progressive vision of the world as the powerful and the powerless, well, Iran are what? They're brown, so they're powerless, but they're conquering countries and destroying them. So what are they? You know, you live in these moral cartoons, and that's a luxury of very privileged people who feel very safe.
I'm Barry Weiss, and this is the Free Press in Israel. The first episode will publish on this feed very soon. Subscribe to Honestly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And as always, the way you can support our work here is by subscribing to the Free Press by going to thefp.com.